Douglas.
Hello, yeah, yes.
So what do you have for us on the sports menu for this evening?
Well, yeah, yes, we'll kick off with African football.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the African Champs League draw, African champions Algeria's Entente Satif will begin the defense of their title against Barak Young Controllers of Liberia or the Gambia's Real de Banjul. The Algerians, along with six other clubs, were given byes into the first round of the 2015 African Champions League. Cotton Sport of Cameroon, Congo's AC Leopards, Egypt's Al Ahly, TP Mazembe of DR Congo, and Tunisia's duo of CSS and Esperance are the other clubs who are into the first round. Three former winners are in the preliminary round. Ghana's Asante Kotoko face East End Land of Sierra Leone. Nigeria's Enyimba will play Bafos from Benin, while Raja Casablanca takes on Diablo Noir of Congo. The tournament gets underway with preliminary round fixtures on the weekend of February 13th to 15th, with second leg games scheduled for a fortnight later. Meanwhile, in Egypt, fans will be allowed to attend Premier League matches for the first time in almost 3 years. Supporters have been banned from domestic games since the Port Said tragedy on February 1st, 2012, when rioting claimed the lives of more than 70 fans. According to the Egyptian Football Association, 10,000 supporters will be allowed at games held in Cairo and Alexandria stadiums and 5,000 fans in smaller venues across the country. However, the ban will remain in place for matches involving any two of the six main clubs: Al Ahly, Zamalek, Al Ittihad, Ismailia, Al Masri, and Damhuru will continue to play in empty stadiums when any of the sides play each other. Since the riot, which occurred at a match between Al Masri and Al Ahly, fans have only been allowed to attend national games and certain matches involving Egyptian teams in continental competitions. Now, for more sports news, let's join Nightline Africa's Segun on the dot at AMA in Lagos, Nigeria. Hello, Segun.
Good evening, Douglas, and good evening, Africa. Spanish club Real Madrid defeated San Lorenzo of Argentina 2-0 on Saturday to win the 2014 Club World Cup and secure its fourth trophy of 2014. The Spanish giants dominated the final, with Sergio Ramos and Gareth Bale getting on the score sheet. Real added the year-ending trophy to the Champions League, Copa del Rey, and the European Super Cup titles it had already secured in 2014. It will also end the year on top of La Liga, the Spanish top division league. Earlier, New Zealand's Auckland City claimed third place after defeating Mexican club Cruz Azul 4-2 in a penalty shootout to become the first Oceania team to win a medal at the tournament. The two sides were locked 1-1 at the end of normal time. In the shootout, Sani Issa scored the eventual winner for the semi-professionals from Auckland. The Kiwis had made the third-place playoff by beating Moroccan side Maghreb Tetouan 1-0 and then seeing off African champion AS Setif of Algeria by the same scoreline. They narrowly missed out on a place in the final when they conceded an extra-time goal in a 2-1 loss to San Lorenzo. For the victory, Real Madrid got $5 million, while the runner-up received $4 million. The FIFA Club World Cup is contested annually by continental champions, plus the host nation's national champion. Morocco hosted the tournament for the second year running. Turning to African football, the King of Morocco suspended the country's sports minister for his duties for the Club World Cup on Friday and ordered an investigation into the state of the soccer field at Moulay Abdellah Stadium in Rabat, after heavy rain disrupted a match. Last Saturday, players from Mexican club Cruz Azul and Australian team Western Sydney Wanderers were slipping and sliding through pools of water on the field after a downpour. The International Players Union asked FIFA for an investigation, describing the conditions as dangerous. Subsequent matches were moved to Marrakech. The state of the field has been seen as a national embarrassment, after the entire complex had recently been upgraded at a cost of $25 million. The order by King Mohammed VI, which was issued in the palace statement carried by the state news agency, came after a week of uproar. Sports Minister Mohamed Ouzin had faulted Spanish company Voltec for its work on the field. The company responded that it was a drainage issue, and it had earlier warned the field was not ready. In more football news, World Soccer's governing body, FIFA, plans to give a further $300,000 bonus to each of its 209 member federations from the 2014 World Cup revenues. FIFA says the payments will help cover the cost of qualification for the 2018 FIFA World Cup. The payments follow FIFA President Sepp Blatter's promise in June that each member will get a $750,000 bonus. FIFA banked more than $4 billion US from commercial deals linked to the tournament. In other news, FIFA says the 2018 World Cup final in Russia will be played on Sunday, July 15th. Confirming the tournament dates on Friday, the FIFA Executive Committee agreed that the opening match will be played on Thursday, June 14th. The 2018 World Cup officially kicks off next March with the first of more than 800 qualifying matches. The main qualifying matches and groups will be drawn on July 25th in St. Petersburg, Russia. Finally, FIFA is abolishing age limits for international referees. FIFA says it is relaxing the rule which forced match officials to leave its international lists at the end of the year they turned 45. Now referees shall be carefully evaluated annually after reaching that age. FIFA said on Friday that officials will undergo technical assessments, medical examinations, and fitness tests by its referees committee. The FIFA Executive Committee decision comes after President Sepp Blatter was affected by an International Olympic Committee, IOC, ruling on age limits last week. The Olympic movement upheld the ruling forcing IOC members to step down in the year they reach 80. Blatter, a member since 1999, will leave in 2016. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm Segun Adeyemi in Lagos. Now sending it back to Douglas the Mighty Mpuga in Washington.
Thank you, Segun. Nightline Africa's Segun on the Dota DMA reporting from Lagos. Now on to Johannesburg, South Africa, where Daybreak Africa's Mark Ouma is standing by with more sports news. Mark starts with a basketball.
Angola's Libolo are the new Africa Men's Club Basketball Champions. Libolo beat Tunisia's ES Rades 86-68 in the finals played in the Tunisian capital Tunis on Saturday. Tunisia's Club Africains snatched the bronze medal after they edged Egypt's Sporting Alexandria 79-74 in the third-place playoff. Tunisia's US Monastir placed fifth following their 86-78 triumph over outgoing Angolan champions Primero de Agosto, while the Democratic Republic of Congo's Mazembe outplayed Mayotte Island's Mtsapere 82-67 to claim the seventh place. In Egypt, FIFA Under-17 World Cup champions Nigeria Golden Eaglets are set to play hosts Niger in their opening match at the Orange Africa Under-17 Championships in Niamey on the 15th of February. According to the draws held in Cairo on Sunday, Guinea and Zambia are also in Group A. Defending champions Ivory Coast take on South Africa in their Group B opener before later playing Cameroon and Mali in their other preliminaries. Staying in Cairo, hosts Senegal encounter Nigeria in the opening match at the Orange Africa Under-20 Championships in Dakar on the 8th of March. Following the draws for the tournament, the Republic of Congo and Ivory Coast are also in Group A, while Group B features Ghana, Mali, South Africa and Zambia. Finally, in boxing, Algerian Jamel Dahou knocked out Mexican Daniel Valenzuela in the first round to retain his UBO World Welterweight title in Bordjibou, a town some 150 kilometers east of the Algerian capital, Algiers, on Saturday.
Thanks, Mark. That was Mark Omar reporting Johannesburg, South Africa. In athletics, Timoth Kirotich scored his third victory on Spanish soil at the 35th edition of the Cross International de Venta de Bones on Sunday. The informed Ugandan won by a commanding 24 seconds in 3 weeks ago, but on this occasion, Toroitich didn't feature at the front of the seniors' main race until the seventh kilometer. Torrey Teach, a pre-race favorite, was emboldened when top-ranked steeplechaser Jairus Byrek pulled out at the last minute, although his winning margin in the 10.575-kilometer race was comparatively modest at 4 seconds. Torrey Teach will return to Spain next month for the IAAF cross-country permit race in Seville on 18th January before finalizing his preparations for the IAAF World Cross Country Championships in Guangyang, where he will be looking to improve on his fifth place finish from 2013. In the women's 6.775-kilometer race, Mimi Belete easily defeated European 1,500-meter champion Saifan Hassan from the Netherlands. And that's it for this edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Douglas Mpuga. Sunny Young will be back tomorrow. Now back to you, Yahayas.
Thank you, Douglas. And listen to the Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday at 16:31 UTC and 18:31 UTC. And on Friday, Sunny has an expanded half-hour edition of the Sunny Side of Sports at 17:30 UTC right here on The Voice of America. Coming up, improving eye health for people in developing countries. And next, a better diet to better pregnancy outcomes. But first, some music. Here is Rapture's Kids from Sierra Leone with ABC.